Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to your Celtic daily 24-hour topical discussion. We are the Axon Bulletin. I'm Paul John Dykes and I'm joined by Lawrence Conley, one of the old school. Lawrence, it's just you and I today. Due to other circumstances, several of your teammates can't be here today. So we're going to go old school like we used to do back in the day. How are you keeping, Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm doing well, mate. You know, another game ticked off, isn't it? You know,
it is.
Closer.
It's another step closer to the title. And there's loads to discuss. You know, this is a thing with Celtic. I remember starting the Axon Bulletin, people said to me, there's no way you can have that as a daily bulletin. There's never going to be enough to discuss. Well, I'll tell you what, we're almost 3 years in of doing this live stream, Lawrence, where we have gone live every single weekday without fail, and we've covered every single game, pre-match, half-time and post-match. And we've never had a moment where we've running out of things to talk about in relation to Celtic, Lawrence. It's incredible.
Well, I often wonder, the people that say there's nothing to talk about, what do they talk about when they get in the pub? You know?
What do they talk about when they get home to their missus? Yeah. Exactly. There we go. Now, we're always keen to get the comments up on the screen. I've got to give out a wee shout out to one of our viewers who's been commenting, I think, post-live. Wondering why his comments aren't coming up on the screen, and this one's for you, John Shirley. Thank you for tuning in, but we can only pull them up obviously during the live show between 12:30 and 1:30 every afternoon, weekday afternoon. That is, if you're watching after the event, which I know a lot of you do due to work, life, shifts and everything else, you're just as welcome to make a comment on the YouTube channel as well. What's the biggest story at the moment? You know, it's probably everything surrounding Leal Abada. So we are going to be covering that. We're also going to be looking at where we are with regards not just to VAR, Lawrence, but to the officiating of Scottish football games. And, you know, it appears that it's coming to a head and it's not just Celtic who are unhappy with it. So we'll be talking a wee bit about that as well. We'll also be talking about some of the individual players who have come onto a game who I think could have a right good contribution between the end of this international break and the end of the season. Obviously, we've got big games coming up, Lawrence. International break, what does it mean for you, Lawrence? What type of a football fan are you? Are you one of these guys, like my old man, if it was a Bulgarian second division reserves, he would watch it if it was live on a channel in a different language? Or are you more, if it's Celtic, you're fine. If it's not, you're not too bothered.
Yeah, see, if it's no Celtic, I don't care now. It's, you know, in the past I might have watched some stuff, but if it's not Celtic, don't really care. It's just an interruption to your season. You know, we've got a couple of injuries just now, probably at this point, welcome. You know, look at the Celtic point of view, if they are going to have some kind of conference on VAR, brilliant. You know, it's about time. They need to look, not so much the technology, it's the people that are implementing it. Because those same people were getting allegations of bias before the technology came in, and now they're still continuing. So something needs to be done, you know, and that there's calls to, for them to go professional. And I think Peter Grant said, you know, 90% of refs are Rangers fans.
Is that all? And,
well, you're thinking, well, at what point would it become a problem?
Did Grant say that recently? Did he say that recently?
Go radio. But you're thinking, what? You know, John Barnes was on talking about unconscious bias on this show a year or so, well, maybe 2 years ago now. But what part does unconscious bias play a part in sport? And there was a North American study recently, and they've said the biggest thing that for unconscious bias is race. They looked across football, basketball, American football, and they said, look, yeah, refs are... They do display unconscious bias, and the biggest thing is race. That seems to be the biggest factor. If that was replicated in Scotland, you know, would we see, you know, would we just call it sectarianism here? Would we see that the biggest unconscious bias playing a part? Who knows? But it seems to be something that they don't want to admit they've got a problem with. No matter how many people call them out, you know, you're Craig Levine. Remember that. Ibrox against the original Rangers, he was going to get his team off the park. I think Chris Robinson, he was the same there. So that was Levine at United. Hearts were the same. Davy Hay was the same at one point. You're thinking,
Davy Hay,
you know, the common thing runs through everything, isn't it? You know, it's decisions favour one club.
The Davy Hay one is very interesting because it was in a cup final, live on the telly, 1986. What was then called the Skull Cup, the League Cup final, Celtic against Rangers, and there was an incident that resulted in Tony Shepherd being sent off the park. And Tony Shepherd hadn't actually been involved in the incident. And Davy Hay actually went on the park, didn't he? And there were stories after that game as well where Davy Hay was quoted as saying that Celtic would be as well leaving Scottish football and going down and playing in the English leagues. Can you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. What might have been, eh? It's happened before. And, you know, I think Celtic have had, you know, over the flag, they had to threaten to leave.
Yes, more than once, by the way. Yeah. That reared its head a few times, obviously under Robert Kelly, who stood up against the authorities and continued to fly the tricolour. But it did come back up again later down the line after Kelly had left his position as chairman of Celtic. And again, we refused. And when you look at the opposition to obviously Celtic's culture, heritage, traditions. That's one thing, Lawrence, right? The refereeing, obviously, who are working for that same organisation, who had an opposition to Celtic in more ways than one, is now under the microscope. And I think that at the beginning of the season, and we were talking about VAR, obviously we know that it was rushed in, it was brought forward, and before a game, before a ball had even been kicked, we were hearing things like Ian Maxwell saying there were going to be teething problems. Like, you know, almost normalising the fact that there were going to be issues. But the issues have affected a great deal of clubs, but they haven't adversely affected one club in particular, Lawrence. And that's where it doesn't stack up. You know, it just doesn't add up. We are now in a world where data, analytics, numbers, it's a massive part of football now. 20 years ago, if you had come out with that kind of stuff, you'd have been either deemed a visionary or a crackpot, you know. You remember Joseph Venkos.
Remember when he watched a game, he'd have his pen and his paper and he'd draw the part in the opposition to see kind of what areas of the part they played in. So I suppose, it's been done.
But in terms of figures, data, analytics, it's something that has gone through the roof. The trajectory of that in recent times has been huge, right?
Look at Amazon, they've pushed it across society, not just in football, haven't they? You know, big data society. But listen, I don't buy Maxwell saying VAR, although there'll be teething issues, it's new. No, it's 4 years old by that stage. Might be new in Scotland, but, you know, the technology's there, it's been proven, it works. And we're only asking referees to apply the rules. You know, they're just getting a chance to have a second look at it so that we don't get these honest mistakes happening.
Well, there's a few issues here in Scottish football, Lawrence. So that has been adopted in many other games all over Europe and the world. However, in Scottish football, there are two main issues, I believe. The first one is the version of VAR we've got isn't good enough. It's a tin pot version. It's what Alan Morrison called the Poundland version. So when you are looking to make a decision based on two big crayon lines on a TV screen, it's sometimes difficult because the lines are so thick and pixelated, you can't even see what is the last part of the body, right, that may or may not be offside, for example. You then look at a game that's maybe getting shown from the Premiership down south, and you get the all singing, all dancing, 33 camera, 3D version, where, you know, a knee could be offside, and it's absolutely 100% clear on the actual graphics. That's an issue. So we've not invested properly in it. And the second issue is the quality of, or otherwise, of our officials. So I think it's got to the point now where Dundee United have asked for a summit. They've asked for all the clubs to be involved in that, Lawrence, and Celtic obviously will be involved in it. I think the only outcome, right, is that Scottish football looks upon refereeing the same way that it looks upon coaching, because we've always kind of held ourselves, there's the big man, there's the bouncer coming in. We've always held ourselves in high esteem when it comes to coaching coaches, bringing them to largs. You know, everybody's gone through those doors, Lawrence, right? Every top manager in Europe has done it. You know, Mourinho, who was it we were speaking to recently who was at the same course as Mourinho? I mean, you could be an aspiring coach at Stranraer and you turn up at Largs and you're sitting there with Mourinho and all these guys. And we've got a reputation for that. And I think we need to have a reputation for doing exactly the same and creating a scenario where we're producing professional referees. We're producing them. So you're basically saying to all these guys that are currently in their role, Lawrence, right, either you come full-time and you get the training and you get the development that goes with any full-time job, or you're not doing it. You know, it's you can't be a solicitor or a teacher and a ref. It needs to be a ref 100%. And we just need to improve what we've got. The whole thing needs torn up and we need to start again. Would Scottish football be up for that? Would they do it?
I said, I don't know if they would do it. There's obviously cost comes into making it professional. But one of the things they could do, and I suppose any organisation that realises it's got some problems and inherent biases, like you saw the report in the Met Police today, they look at the recruitment and say, well, why are we only bringing in a section of society, or why the only one section of society flourishing in our organisation? We've got a problem.
But a big part of that...
We've got a problem.
The big part of that in Scottish refereeing would be any kind of association to a particular club. So you could eradicate that as well.
Yeah, straight away you could go, well, you know, we need to have some targets in here. Is it fair that 90% of top games are refereed by Rangers fans? Well, actually in Scotland, you get kind of some arguments about that. But if you to flip and say, well, could we have 90% of games refereed by Celtic fans? There would be no arguments that that couldn't happen. And it probably tells you a lot, you know, about the society. You go, oh, no, that couldn't happen, you know. You'll remember that we had referees playing Rangers anthems in their church after games and stuff. And this guy's maybe seen to be impartial. And you hear the arguments, so, you know, on the shows and in the papers, look, these guys have invested a lot of time. You know, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't wreck their career. It was only recently, what was it, a detective inspector and a sheriff wrecked their careers over bias towards Rangers, cost the country millions of pounds over...
Tens of millions, yeah.
False warrant or incorrect warrants because of their passion for Rangers. Whether they've done that deliberately or not, but certainly the passion for Rangers, you know, I think it's definitely clouded their view on it. It's ruined their careers. But it couldn't happen to a referee, apparently.
Well, you know, your point.
The argument that if somebody's put a long time in a career, they wouldn't do something wrong. Why is that only true of referees? Would that not be true of all professions? So,
and
you know what,
life.
10 years in, don't need to worry about him robbing anything because he's got 10 years in. You know, it's just a ridiculous argument.
It is. And also the fact, even you can't say because they've dedicated X amount of years, we'll just, you know, maintain a status quo, because it's simply not good enough. So it's been shown up for being not good enough, Lawrence. And these big changes have to be made. But I think that's what it is. You completely tear it up, you start again. You have a training programme for new and aspiring referees. You put them through that. And then within a few years, you've actually got a conveyor belt of top-class officials that, you know what, it would be a great advert for the Scottish game as well when these guys are being called up for big tournaments, you know, represent Scotland, being FIFA referees, etc. Because invariably that would happen if you had them as professionals.
But we spoke about this before, VAR. There's the opportunity to say to a number of small countries, let's get the dearest one in. Let's pool our resources. Mm-hmm. Let's have it based somewhere. We won't have people from divisions in Scottish games. Straight away, you're taking away that allegation of, you know, bias there. You can do the same with refs. And remember, we had to fly refs in because the refs went on strike because they get caught lying to the Celtic manager. Yeah. You know, what I think, strike over, you know, what we want to keep being able to lie to Celtic managers without being called to account. I'm not too sure what their point was, but when we flew the refs into referee the games that weekend, I didn't notice any drop in standard of refereeing. In fact, I noticed a lack of controversy. You know, what other countries will suffer for allegations of bias as well. You know, we could easily share refs with other countries. And through that, you're getting a bigger pool. You're pooling your resources. You can maybe do more with those resources. Keeping it in Scotland, I think we're the only country where a ref doesn't have to declare his allegiance.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
That alone, they've got to go, wait a minute, are we the only ones doing this? Maybe we've got this wrong.
But maybe we're doing it wrong. Yeah, and it's time for change. The my only concern, Lawrence, is that even though other clubs feel hard done by and are calling for meetings up at what we used to call Park Gardens, but it's up at Hampden Park now, it's, you know, you ask yourself, people are they just going to tick a box and then continue as normal? It really does require the clubs to take a stand on this because it's not been good enough. And you know what? VAR's actually highlighted there. Let's put it in the bracket of incompetence and everything else that entails, Lawrence. It's highlighted it.
But we've got a kind of precursor to this. Some, you know, there was another problem with that organisation. Fergus called them to account. And obviously, Jim Farrey ended up losing his job and getting a huge payoff. Did the organisation change? Well, part of Farrey's allegations was it wasn't just him, it was a guy called Sandy Bryson who was involved. Mm-hmm. Did anything change at the organisation? And years later, he made that ridiculous decision, you know, oh yeah, they weren't imperfectly registered, but perfectly eligible. Only club that would get a decision like that. You've got smaller clubs getting kicked out of the league for not dating it in two places. We can have corrupt contracts, you know, involved in tax evasion. But yeah, it's to be okay. But, you know, it doesn't stand up to any kind of scrutiny from anyone that isn't a Rangers fan. Would go,
no.
Come on, yous are having a laugh here. So that tells you about that organisation, I think, and its ability to change. And if you look through the time, they just seem to be in absolute denial there's a problem. Their head of referees had to resign. What was the problem there? You've got a serious problem and you don't seem to want to tackle it.
It's institutionally ingrained in that association, Lawrence. There's no doubt about it. In terms of the refereeing part of that, yeah, I think you rip it up, you retrain a whole new batch and you have a system where they are working as full-time professionals for the full-time game. Jungle Lion, where is all this Abara story coming from? Is it make-up stuff or a bit of truth? Well, what I would say to that is every time there's a story around a player who is important to Celtic, as is Lille Abada, as was Giakoumakis and Juranovic, Lawrence, I'm a bit cynical, like Jungle Lion says. I'm sometimes a bit cynical when I first hear the story. I think, right, are they trying to unsettle a Celtic player? And obviously the Lille Abada one is the latest in a long line of you know, gossip, speculation, whatever you want to call it. I'm just waiting for Fabrizio Romano to start tweeting about it as well. But basically, we learned, Colin and I spoke yesterday about the president of Lille Abada's former club, who apparently has been told that, you know, he refused to sign a contract in January and he's looking for a move to England in the summer. Okay, well, if that's the case, then what we're looking at here is a player who we brought in at the age of 19 years of age. He's been at the club. If he was to leave in the summer, he's been at the club for 2 years. And if he was to leave, we would sell him for a massive profit. So In that respect, Lawrence, that's exactly what we do as a football club. And it's something that Ange Postecoglou has spoken about doing a wee bit more aggressively. And he's trying to prepare us for the loss of our heroes. You know, don't get too attached to players. We've heard all the chat around it. So where's it coming from? Well, that was the first kind of gossip or speculation that we heard in relation to Abada. And Colin and I spoke about it yesterday and the fact that, you know, it could actually be deemed a non-story. It would be like Dermot Desmond talking about a chat that you had with Kieran Tierney or anyone else, and Kieran Tierney's told him that he's going to be moving in the summer. So that was the example that we gave yesterday. However, there was another story that broke today, and it was Stephen McGowan who was talking about potential interest from Southampton, who has been, you know, they've been linked with a few other players in recent times. And there's been a figure cited, which was quoted as £10 million. Many have pointed out that Abada's under contract, I think, till 2026, Lawrence, but we had Juranovic and Giakoumakis under contract, yet they still left the club. Is this one of the batch of players that we brought in pretty early in Ange's tenure, whereby the deal might have been done by the previous CEO, whereby, you know, £10 million's great for a player that you've maybe paid £3 million for, of course it is. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about some of our prized assets going for 15, 20, Kieran Tierney, £25 million, not comparing them individually to Tierney or anybody else. But in terms of the prize assets going for big money, now that we're playing in the Champions League, you would expect that kind of level to continue. But some of the transfer fees seem a bit on the low end, Lawrence. Is that due to the fact that there was a batch of transfers done early doors that might have been done slightly differently by a different CEO?
Yeah, you know, it's a possibility with it. Have they been in the low end? We've got decent money. Juranovic can maybe, the age he was at, asking for a sell on. Would Abada really come in from Israel, being a lot younger, ask for a sell on? Who knows? But you've touched on it. It's our model. We buy players, we sell them for a profit. Mm-hmm. What we're arguing about, you know, is it an offer a profit now? We'll probably put a selling clause in there as well. Abada, you know, we've got to think, what's the risk if he moves? Who have we got coming through? Do we have someone in scouting, you know, contortion team come up? We're another cracking player for us. Mm. The record over the last 2 or 3 years would suggest probably. Yeah, so really, what's the risk here? We're £8 million up in something to spend. Abada's got good numbers, but, you know, he's one in one way of keeping him, didn't get shot off. You know, he's not forced his way into that starting 11 a lot, has he? So if he's one of the guys that moves and we bring in somebody better, because that's what's going to have to happen now. The team's at a level, and we'll talk about it, you know, Turnbull's possibly another one that might have to move, because how do we improve this team now? Before, Angie's question was, how do I get a decent squad? I think he's got there now.
Yeah.
Now it's going, right, now you're going to have to lose people that you like. Or, you know, listen, some of the guys might want to generally move on and go to England. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As long as we make money on them, you know, maintain a position as the richest and most dominant club in Scotland, it's not really a problem. The issue comes with how it affects us in Europe, I think. And then we're looking at how we reinvest the money we bring in. Because that's where we want to see success. You know, I think since the past 12 years, we're probably going to have won 11 titles in 12 years. It's pretty dominant. Yeah. There's really...
Did you say only? Did you say we've only won 11 in 12?
Yeah, only, mate. You know, I'm sure we all wish it was 12. But is there a real challenge for us within Scottish football? Well, I think the first 15 minutes of this show was talking about the biggest challenge in Scottish football. And that probably tells you about how dominant we are.
Yeah.
So if Abada goes, it's about what do we do with the money? How do we build a team for Europe to take us further? I think, you know what? I think Ange and the guys have got this in Scotland. It's just, right, the next stage now.
See, the thing, the tagline, why we're confident Ange will deal with the mooted Abada departure. Now, listen, we can only go with the sources. I think Steve McGowan is a trusted source. Someone in the comments will come up with a time he got it wrong. People are always going to get it wrong. And this is the thing. At the top of the show, we were talking about going live every single day for the last 3 years. Obviously, you're going to get it wrong sometimes, Lawrence, you know. And that's just the nature of the game of football. However, with regards to Abada, if he is to go, I think the key here, and one of the key changes that I think we've noticed since Ange's come in and the way that we're doing things in terms of recruitment, Lawrence, is that we were doing the brilliant bits of business. You could think about guys like Van Dijk, Wanyama, Fraser Foster, and others. You know, players we're bringing in. I think Key, we made a good profit on Key, Sung Young as well. You bring them in, they're at the club for however many years, we sell them on at a really, really big profit. And we did that part of it really well. Frimpong's another good example. But the bit that I don't think we did so well is the hit rate, the success rate of the amount of bodies coming into the club. So people might say, oh, you know, it's no exact science. There's always going to get a few wrong. But I think we're getting too many wrong. You know, if you were to look at the amount of players that we've signed over that period of time, there's a lot of guys in the £2.5 to £3 million category under various managers, by the way, who didn't really contribute much to Celtic. And I think we've got that a lot better. There's going to be occasions where it doesn't work. Of course there is. But if we sell, let's say we do sell Abada for 10 million and we've trebled our money on him and we've got a sell-on clause for him for 2 or 3 years down the line if he was to move, then it's a great bit of business, but you've also got that confidence that we could go out and sometimes maybe even buy 2 or 3 players with a profit that will enhance the squad, Lawrence. And I'm a lot more confident under Ange that we can do that.
So I'm kind of half in agreement. If we sell Abada, I don't have the confidence that we'll go out and spend that money. I think we'll have already done that before we sell them. And I think a lot of this is coming down to the timing of the way we do things. You heard Juranovic come out after leave. Oh, people were saying, oh, what's happening to you? Mm-hmm. They bought another right back. You know, that was a guy that was either angling for a move or a wage rise. And before he knew it, it was like, don't let the door hit you, mate. You know, we've turned the profit. We've got your replacement in.
Yeah.
See you later. And I think it's given these guys, you know, coming in earlier, rather, you know, than that breaking the team being without someone. They're coming in, they're getting to know the squad. It's helping them bed in earlier. And I think that helps as well for the players moving to a club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the big thing we're really doing well is timing it, you know. And I don't think that scouting team stop at Celtic Park now. I think they're constantly looking for people that can improve our squad and our team. Whereas before, I'm not too sure it was so constant there that the demands on them weren't as big. But now it's all the time. Yeah, they're on the lookout.
There was occasions where we were buying players in, Lawrence, and even the manager was questioning whether or not we needed them. I think Marion Sved was one of the examples, wasn't he? Where, you know, it was quite clear that Rodgers wasn't really interested. He didn't want the player. He spoke about having, I think his words were, we've already got millions of wingers at the club or thousands of wingers at the club. I'm keen to get the thoughts of the commenters. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in on this Tuesday afternoon. We're about 650 live on the stream. Thanks, everybody, for supporting what we're doing. David Boyle, I love Abada, but he is not a starter. So for 10 million quid, I would happily take it and let Ange replace him with an upgrade, gradual upgrades to get us competitive in Europe. And as Lauren says, if that is the case, we're probably already either identified that upgrade or, you know, we've brought him in the building like, you know, we did with Johnson and we did with O previously as well. Jungle Lion Abada is at best an impact player. He has been this season for sure. And there's Paddy coming in, Paddy Lavery. Afternoon all. It's always an absolute pleasure to see the regulars and the new viewers coming in. Here we go. The Urban Culture, whatever will be, will be. And we'll have a replacement lined up. And I think that's the confidence that he has given us since he came in. We've had players who have come in and left 18 months later, and we've got a player now in Abada who's come in, and he might leave a couple of years down the line as well. We're in an international break. It was interesting to see pictures, Lawrence, of Mikey Johnston training for Ireland earlier on. I was looking at that with interest. And you ask yourself, you know, the question we keep talking about, the dozen players that are out on loan, which ones are going to come back? Which ones will have a future at Celtic? And we had a good discussion about that. And I think you give a bit of leeway to people that are maybe in the younger category, like Toby Oluwayemi, or perhaps Ewan O2, because you're thinking, well, these guys have got time on their side, maybe even Montgomery. But Johnston was in that middle bit where people were saying, you know, how many chances do we give Mikey Johnson before it's time to let him go? He's obviously impressed Stephen Kenny. He's been called up for Ireland. Games will be against Latvia and France.
Well, listen, I think part of that's going to depend on what kind of buy option the club he's got on loan has. You know, if we've already signed up to an option where they can buy him for a set figure, you know, the choice is taken away from us, isn't it? And you know what happened with Jack Hendry, and at times it's not a bad thing. You know, things have run their course for players at clubs. If Mike could come back, who would he be replacing? Lila Bader, I'm not too sure. You know, even if Abada goes, is Johnson the player you'd want to be coming in for him? I'm not sure. I think, yeah, he's probably moved on. I don't think Ange gives the players a lot of time. You know, they've got to kind of show they can do it, show they're committed to the cause, and if they haven't, you know, move on, forget them. And I think that's, and his transfer strategy, people start making noises about what he move. You know what? If you want to move, just go. You know, you've had Juranovic saying, oh, I wasn't too sure. You know, Yakimak has similar noises coming for him. Well, we've turned a profit. We've got a happy camp. And I'd say we've got, definitely, I think, always better than Yakimakis. And Johnson, you know, he's got the potential to be better than Juranovic. So I think on those two, it's been a cracking bit of business. No doubt we'll repeat it on Abada. The boys out on loan, yeah, I think Johnson's time is up. I think we'll bring in decent money for him. We'll add it to a pot to look at replacements. Is it 12, 13 out on loan at the moment?
12 at the moment, Lawrence. Yeah. Some of them obviously were big acquisitions like Ayeti, Barkas, even Sorrell cost us over £2 million. And then you've got some of the kind of younger players. And then Mikey Johnson, who has played under a number of managers, never really kicked on for any number of reasons. He was in the kind of maybe category. A lot of people in the comments might say, cut him loose. At his age, he needs to be playing football. That much is for sure. And there's nothing better, you know, like Jack Hendry, when he left Celtic, the first loan deal, actually, you'll remember, he went to Australia and had a right bad injury. And you thought to yourself, this guy just can't get a break. Then he goes to Belgium and he flourishes over there. And, you know, the question was, do we bring him back? But a lot of Celtic fans, understandably, had already kind of written him off in their heads, and it was a case of letting him go. What's he done since he's left us? He's played in the Champions League. He's played for Scotland. He's done really well.
But that wasn't the question. Do we bring him back? That wasn't our option at that point. You know, when we signed the contract that gave them the buy clause, we decided, you know, our option was taken away from us to bring him back, wasn't it? It was, if you want to buy him, the decision's yours. We don't have an option in this. So I suppose the decision about whether he was written off or not was probably a bit earlier. It was, you know, get our money back, get the money off the wage bill. You know,
we made a profit on him.
Yeah, made a profit. You know, there's players out there we won't make a profit on, you know, Barkas or Yeti, but if we get them off the wage bill, you know, and bring in, you know, a couple of million for them each, you'd be happy to add that to the pot, wouldn't you?
To be honest with you, Lawrence, I would be happy to get £1 million for Barkas and £1 million for a Yeti, because their combined wages are something like £30,000 a week, which, you know, they're just not contributing to the team in any way, shape or form. The interesting one about Barkas, we always talk about him being a £5 million goalkeeper. He was a £3.75 million. I'm splitting hairs here, but £3.75 million was the down payment. And the rest was based on appearances, etc. So we've not actually paid £5 million for him. If you get £1 million back for him, you cut your losses and he moves on and everybody's happy, I think. But Mikey's I think he divides opinion. I don't know the contract. I don't know if it's a similar deal to the Hendry one that you mentioned there, where even if we wanted him back, we can't get him back. I'm not sure. So we'll see how that transpires. But it is good to see him enjoying his football, getting international recognition.
It's great he's doing well. He's obviously back. He's getting regular minutes, and he's really struggled with injury here. He was unlucky quite a few times, but I think, you know, the time of the team has moved on. I don't see Ange bringing him back. I think he's going to be looking at Europe and saying, right, who can I bring in and it's going to improve it? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Mikey Johnson's answer.
That's, you know what, that sounds brutal, but it's true. If you were up against some of the teams we face in Europe this season, Lawrence, and it's 30 minutes to go and you need somebody to change the game, is Mikey Johnson going to do it? And I think that's a question that Ange will be asking himself as well. The other call-up due to withdrawals, etc., is Tony Ralston. And I think I feel a bit sorry for Tony this season. I mean, it's been a story of three right-backs this season. All the focus was on Juranovic, who went away and had a brilliant World Cup and all that. Then he gets sold and Johnson's come in and he's been a revelation since he's arrived. And Tony Ralston, he's the type of guy who just quietly goes about his business. He seems to be low maintenance for Ange Postecoglou, whereby if he's called upon, he'll get the jersey on and he'll go and do his job. And it's great to see him getting called back into the Scotland squad.
Definitely. Listen, if nothing else, to give him some game time in his legs, hopefully.
Totally.
You know, it's important that Tony's up to speed for his. He came in and looked a wee bit rusty, but he hadn't played for a long while. Second half, he was much better his last game.
Yeah. So, against Hearts.
Yeah, great that Tony's getting some recognition because, you know, he's proved that he's a decent player. Proved everybody in the show wrong, didn't he?
He's a bit of an actual favourite. He is, eh? He's an actual favourite.
He proved us all wrong, but you know what? We were wrong, Tony.
Except Amy.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Amy always, honestly, Amy always flew the Tony Ralston flag. One of these days, if I get time, I'm going to go back to some of the early shows and pick out some of the choice comments about certain players who proved right, wrong, or otherwise. Celtic follower on the YouTube channel, thanks for coming back in. Jungle Lion, in the past month, we've seen Ange head to England multiple times, along with Kyogo Hatate, Carter Vickers, Abada Jota. Funny these stories come out just before a derby game. The reason I'm bringing that up is because you're spot on. And that, you know, we've spoken about the press and the media and propaganda and manipulation. We've spoken about all that, and it does happen. But every now and again, you get the sense, and I got it with Giakoumakis, I got it with Juranovic, and I'm tending to veer towards it with Abada and the stories that are coming out. You do feel that there's no smoke without fire sometimes, Lance.
But sometimes it's the headlines, oh, Celtic are going to lose Abada. It's not, oh, Celtic are about to turn an £8 million profit on one player.
Aye, project complete. You know, we brought him in 2 years later.
You know,
we triple our money and we move on.
That's a pretty interesting story. Celtic player model works again. We're going to make £8 million on a player who's a substitute. And we've likely got his replacement lined up.
Yeah.
Would the Scottish press run with that take on it? Probably not.
It's all about clickbait, though, Lawrence. You imagine putting that out as your headline. Now, we don't really subscribe in any way, shape, or form to clickbait. But you know that people are attracted to certain headlines, taglines, etc. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a tagline, right? So we know how the game works.
Celtic due to make £8 million profit on a substitute. I'd click on that. But there's a difference.
So would that.
There's a difference in Celtic duty lose a player. You know, you're like, well, why is that a bad thing? It's our model. We're not losing them, we're profiting.
That'll be your tagline, right? If it happens this summer, that'll be your tagline, I promise you. Talking about moving down to England, right? Something I'm going to throw out there. A few months back, quite a while ago, actually, we had a young kid in here from Portobello who was tearing it up. He was scoring some sensational amount of goals. At underage level, and a lot of interest in the boy. His name's Philip Scorb. And him and his old fella came in, and we had a right good chat with him. Great kind of like backstory. Obviously, his old man came over from Poland. And Philip has had interest from so many clubs, Lawrence, that I was aware of. I know that he was down at Leeds, and he really impressed them down there in a couple of trial games that he had. There's various other clubs interested in him. But I was reading yesterday that Rangers have entered the battle. We're talking about media hype and manipulation and stuff like that. But Rangers apparently have now shown an interest in this player. He's 15 years of age, and you know, the other clubs that have been kind of quoted are Hibs, Hearts, Leeds United, Newcastle United, and then Rangers have come in. But I found it interesting in the article that they were actually talking about him in the same breath as the current first team strikers. This is a boy at 15 years of age, Lawrence, and the fact that, you know, he's going to be playing a trial game either tonight or tomorrow. And, you know, surely if the talent is there, then we should be in the mix. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody how to do their job, but maybe we have already had a look at him. But I would be horrified if this young protege was to go elsewhere.
Listen, 15-year-olds, and they talk about him in the same breath as the first team. He must be some player, you know, or maybe the skin, and they're not going to be able to replace their superstars.
Or maybe, you know, it's propaganda to veer the decision towards Rangers first team football rather than going to Leeds. You know what I'm saying? So it's a very carefully worded article, if you like.
I'm sure him and his dad won't be influenced by the papers. You know, they'll look and see what's the chance of developing as a youngster at various clubs. Well, there's also going to be money on the table, let's be honest, signing on.
What would you do if that was your boy?
What would you advise him?
I meant Scottish football against Leeds United, Newcastle, and the other various clubs, Arsenal, who have been interested in him. What would you do at that stage? 15-year-old boy, do you go to a Dundee United, a Hibs or a Hearts where you might get first-team football? Do you go to one of the big clubs down south? What would your choice be?
Club like Motherwell, they've got a track record.
I don't think Lawrence Conley Jr. would work with a Rangers jersey on. I was not suggesting that for a moment, big fella.
A club like Motherwell, mate, they've got a great record of developing young players, and I know that's part of their pitch. Come along and you will get in. You know, the players getting in at 17, 18 quite often for them. How many clubs really have that reputation up here? How much money's on the table? Down south, if you went to Arsenal, you go, well, good academy, they've good standard of reserve football. Mm-hmm. We've actually seen our players leave to go to Germany for similar reasons. So,
yeah.
I suppose until the offers are on the table, you don't know. But I think, you know, we lost a talent in Ben Doak, but apparently set for life, you know, just off that one deal. Mm-hmm. So if the money's that huge, could you really say, listen, you know what, you sign on at £600 a week for a chance of first team football, or you be set up for life and you're through a school of excellence with Aston Villa or Leeds or Liverpool or whoever? I don't think it's that difficult a choice to make. But you'd need to be right at the top level to get a huge offer from them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. I just sometimes think that, you know, the actual apprenticeship of going down there for 3 or 4 years would hold you in better stead. It doesn't always work out. We've all, you know, played with players or known players who have gone down south and all that, Lawrence, and it's not worked out. But I just think sometimes if you went down there, the life experience of 3 or 4 years, maybe down at an English club, would hold you in good stead, and then perhaps you could come back up. But you're trying to weigh that, aren't you, against going to somebody like Motherwell, Hibs, Dundee United, where you might get first-team football pretty early doors. So yeah. It's a difficult balance to strike, especially at the age of 15. I couldn't imagine. I mean, I used to go through to Glasgow from Fife to watch Celtic at that age, and that was a big deal, you know, to actually travel through on my own. So to move down south or any of that kind of stuff, or like the two guys you mentioned, Morrison and Hepburn, to move over to Germany, it's a massive undertaking for a kid that age. But hopefully he will get the move that suits him the best. And we need to mention this, right, Lawrence, because I know that in the past you've done the Johnny Thompson walk, haven't you?
I have indeed, mate. I've done a couple of times, the 80 and the 90, and, you know, we've got, I think, is it 8 years left now to the...
So what age will you be? What age will you be at that point?
57.
So you'll still be doing it?
It was
an excellent year. Talking about 57. Sean Fallon will be coming up in a wee second. The reason I ask is that I was reading this morning, brilliant initiative. It's a collaboration between the Celtic FC Foundation and the Billy McNeil Commemoration Charity, and it's called In the Footsteps of Caesar. And what they're doing, Lawrence, is on the 29th of May, they're walking from the Celtic Park statue to the Bells Hill statue. It's 10.1 miles. We were actually at the unveiling of the statue in Bells Hill. Fantastic, beautiful statue. And I just think it's yet another magnificent initiative, right at the very heart of what this club's all about.
Definitely, mate, yeah. Years ago, I'd done the 10 for 10, you know, for Phil O'Donnell. But it just goes to show, you know, it's more than a football club, it's a community. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It's brilliant to see this stuff going on. Big John Fallon, I think he's opening a school in Africa, isn't he? He's got some fundraising going on there. It just shows, you know, the reach of Celtic and the good work that Celtic can do. And it just brings people together, gives people chances. You look at the Cano Foundation, the stuff they're doing. It speaks so much about Celtic and, I suppose, a Celtic state of mind.
A Celtic state of mind indeed. James Daly, I've still not got over the rumour Kenny Dalglish may move to Liverpool for £440,000. Always found that transfer fee a bit unusual. £440,000. 1977, it was the same year that Elvis died, was it not? So we lost the King of Kings at the time, King of the Jungle. Yeah. King of Kings came a bit later. The King of the Jungle, who went to become the King of the Cop. and the other king, he died as well. Paddy Lavery, the grass isn't always greener, as plenty of ex-Celtic players will attest to. Well, you just need to look at Edward. Edward's not really kicked on over the piece, Lauren, since he left Celtic, and there was chat around him just last week. Undoubtedly talented. Also today is World Down Syndrome Day, and Celtic Football Club via the foundation will be supporting that, as they always do, advocating for the rights, inclusion and well-being of people with Down syndrome in society. And I think it's always great to highlight what they're doing, because all year round they're doing some phenomenal work at the foundation. Obviously our own charity endeavours are geared towards St Mary's, the birthplace of Celtic, and we have done a number of things to raise cash for them. But this year and throughout the year, what we're also going to do, Lawrence, is the Glory and the Dream obviously was released as a single with The Wakes, your pal Paul. You introduced me actually to Paul. We're backing vocals by Carly Connor. We did the promo video and it's on the YouTube channel on the homepage, so check that out. But what we're going to do to raise funds even more, because it is difficult with a song to raise money on the song these days, Lawrence, because streams and downloads, you know, you've got to do it in the millions to raise anything substantial for St Mary's. So we're going to print out and create hard copies of the single as well, with a couple of B-sides. You'll be able to buy some merch as well with the artwork on it, and all profits will go to St Mary's, and we're going to have that very, very soon. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, follow what we're doing on the socials and on the YouTube channel, subscribe, like the video today, and as I say, all year round, charity endeavours for the birthplace of the club. You mentioned 1957, Lawrence.
Indeed,
Sean Fallon.
Yeah.
Sean Fallon. 73 years ago, he signed for Celtic, one of the club's finest sons.
The Iron Man.
I had the pleasure of meeting the Iron Man on one occasion. I spoke about that last week, actually. And what a phenomenal servant he was to Celtic Football Club. So it's always great to remember the legends of the past. Xander Mack, the closer we get to the title, the more rubbish we'll hear from the mainstream media. Axon for all your Celtic news. Well, I appreciate that. And I think that, you know, the advent of online services has allowed a lot of stories to be picked apart. It doesn't always work in your favour. The other day there, I got a memory popping up, Lawrence, of the Celtic Smiler poster, you know, the movie poster. I thought I'll share that on Twitter, and I said, you know, if you fancy rating it, came out a few years ago, if you fancy rating it, here's the link. And I then got 4 1-star ratings from people who undoubtedly had never watched it and probably weren't Celtic fans. So that's the way it works online.
I've got a copy of Smiler. I've got a book, haven't I? The DVD.
Yeah. You got the original? Well, obviously there is only one edition, which is exchanged for several hundred pounds in the past, because there are so few of them. There was a point came up here in relation to the international break coming at a good time. We've obviously got 3 injury worries at the moment in Greg Taylor, Rio Itati and Aaron Moy. It has come at a good time for us, eh? Just so we can get them recuperated and back in the side for the game against Rangers.
Yeah. Probably fortunate it's come now. Get them recuperated. Next 5 games, we've got 4 leagues, 1 cup game. You win the next 5, you're then left with a final and 5 and 12 clear with 5 to go. It's, yeah, great new time for a break for us, just to recharge the batteries for everyone. Hopefully Greg can get back on it. Although I think Burnaby's looked more a player that the last couple of times I've seen him. Itati and Moy at the same time, huge miss. You know, one of them being out is going to be a miss, but both. Absolutely huge. Moy just being saying it's a sore back, so hopefully that heals up. I'm not too sure what it is with Rio, but you know, you'd hope an international break. Yeah. But if they're not fit, you know, they'll be closer to fitness.
We've got Marquee coming in actually asking how's wee Karamoko Dembele getting on. I think the last time I checked a couple of weeks back, he'd played 16 games for Brest. Not all starts, it's got to be said. He was coming on for 15, 10, 20 minutes, that kind of thing. So he's getting some game time, Mark. But, you know, when he smashed onto the scene as a 13-year-old, there was hopes that he would be a world beater. Whether or not that's going to happen, who knows?
What's the friendly he played in? Hit the bar, remember?
Was
the
it not
friendly hit the bar 20-odd yards?
Bristol City, maybe?
Was it?
I think so. He played quite a few games in the pre-season and he got that bad injury. Remember the bad ankle injury? Because I think the timing of that was just horrific for the boy. I think that if he had been playing games under Ange, we might have kept him. He might have wanted to stay. Yeah. But obviously that did not happen, unfortunately. But we've spoken a fair bit this week about already about the media and VAR and the officials, but there seems to be this other bitterness coming through, Lawrence. And, you know, from the usual suspects and others with regards to a bitterness or a cynicism against Celtic. And yesterday I mentioned comments made by Derek McInnes, Nielsen and Beale, you know, either directly or indirectly at Ange Postecoglou or Celtic, but also felt that there was a real cynicism from Lee Johnson, who's a guy who previously I've praised for the way that he spoke about Celtic and the way that some of our players have improved the standard of our league. But it seems to be every week we're getting another dig, another jibe from fellow managers and even players. We've been warned that we're going to be facing the real Rangers from their captain just over the last week as well. Lawrence, this is a kind of bluster that you expect from the old WWF wrestlers. You know what I mean? Randy Man Savage and all that coming out and talking absolute nonsense before a big fight for a belt. And it's like, Come on, just pipe down. Ange goes about his business, doesn't allow any of that to affect him, does he?
No, he doesn't. You know, I said before, eagles don't fight with sparrows. He's, you know, what can they say that's really going to affect Ange and take his focus away from winning football matches? You know, nothing. But on Johnson, really disappointing. I mean, you know, he sets the tone for his club. See, when he kicked the ball in the park, and as a manager, you've just decided to cheat. What's that saying to your players? He got a yellow card. I think he was the only guy yellow carded for time wasting with 15 minutes of injury time in total. No serious injuries. What was the ref doing to manage the game here? You know, first, because it started it, time wasting within the first 10 minutes. First time, you're not sure. Second time, right, they're time wasting, we'll have a wee word. Third time that early in the game, you'd be booking them. But to go 90 minutes without, or sorry, 105 minutes without any of the players booked for time wasting, utterly bizarre. Did the ref forget he can book them for that? Who knows?
Right, see what can happen on here. Lawrence, we'll talk about it actually, because I think Peter Grant made a point over the commentary about time wasting. K Mats, who's asking for a shout out to Daniel Butler. I've seen this done, and I'm not comparing myself to Hulk Hogan, but I've seen this done to Hulk Hogan on Twitter, and I could be given a shout out to Daniel Butler, and I've no idea who Daniel Butler is. So hopefully Daniel Butler is a fan of both Celtic and Axom, and it's a genuine shout out, K Mats. Thank you very much for that. Otherwise, I'll need to check out who he is. But thank you for that. There's another shout-out, actually, for someone else. Let me have a wee look here. From Rome. Big shout-out to Shah from Rome, who runs his own channel called On The Volley. So big shout-out to you as well. It's always a pleasure to get people involved in any way, shape or form. But we spoke at the beginning of the week there about the fact that Ange focuses on the football. And, you know, I think he's coming to a completely different culture when he's arrived in Scotland as a manager, Lawrence. And he very quickly sussed out the way that it works in terms of the media and all that. But it must be pretty disappointing when fellow managers, and I've never seen Ange disrespecting anybody, you know, in an opposing dugout. But it must be really disappointing for him when fellow managers are starting to get a boot in and a dig in. And I love the fact that, you know, Ange is basically saying, be better, be aspirational, don't be bitter, don't be negative.
Yeah, you've got to wonder what they hope to achieve, the fellow managers, first of all. And it's, to be honest, I don't actually think Ange spends 1 second actually thinking about them or them saying something negative. You just like, you know, they just confirmed they're an idiot. you know, why should that bother them? You know, it's, you know, if they want to do that and make themselves less.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
it's not really Angie's concern, is it? Their comments don't stack up. Whether their own fans are blinded by it to say, oh, you know, look at what's happening in the park. Look at the results. Look at the style of football being played. Where do you want to be? What do you want to be doing? If other managers are making comments about, oh, shouldn't be complaining about VAR decisions going against us, but why not? You know, how many should go against you before you complain? If it's time wasting, you know, the ref should be taking action. Managers who, you know, indulge in cheating by kicking balls onto the park, they've really got to have a look at themselves. They're setting a tone for their team, saying, well, you know what, we're just going to stop this. You know, I don't think I've seen a manager do that before in the game.
No, it's just cynical.
So out of there, mate. So out there.
I know, it definitely is. And apparently, John Kennedy took up my task at some point during the game. And if you're going to go toe-to-toe with Big John, you need to have a look at his guns before you do that, because he's a big boy. He's a big boy. Gillian Butler, superb comment. Thank you for getting involved. Sorry to butt in and be a pain. You're not a pain at all. Your boy is 7 and he's a massive Celtic fan. Watches Axom every night. How incredible is that, by the way? He watches Axom every night, Lawrence, with his grandpa.
I was in the penalty spot. The guy was in spending his pocket money and some Celtic gear, 12 years old, and recognised me from the show.
Oh, that's amazing.
The fans are all out there, mate. You know?
Did he recognise your dog as well?
Didn't have Marley big enough for me. The penalty spot wouldn't have been big enough to get Marley in at the safety.
That's true. That's true. Could you give him a wee mention? Absolutely. His name is Daniel. Daniel Butler. You'd be over the moon. Well, we're over the moon that you tune in with your grandpa. There's nothing better than that passing on of the green and white baton, Lawrence, from granddad down to son to grandson. It's fantastic. And to hear that you tune in really keeps us all happy here at Axom. So thank you very much, Gillian, and thank you, Daniel. You keep the faith, son, and we're going for a treble this season. So the other one I wanted to bring up was from Tony, who mentions Islam Farooz should be a perfect example. Absolutely nobody now. There's a thin line, Lawrence. There really is a thin line. I mean, we've seen the prodigious talent coming through at Celtic. We hear the hype. We might get a chance to see them in action, particularly with the B team now. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes with a lot of these guys. We don't know if they're living their lives properly. And sometimes when they leave Celtic, they disappear without trace. Islam Farooz was, you know, touted as being the next big thing. He went to Chelsea. And he retired before, I think, he was 23. Never kicked a ball since.
But I suppose we're talking about big data and the way we look at football. If you look at it that way, we've got, you know, an under 7s, 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s. You've got a squad for every age group. Well, statistically, very few of them are going to make it because, you know, once you're over 16, 18, you should be playing or trying to get in that first team. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, you're putting... From now, say, 70 under 16s, 9 years of squads all trying to make it to that bigger squad at some point. Statistically, they won't all make it. Yeah, Farooz literally made some wrong choices. He's definitely a talented player. But you've seen some players who, you know, were let go by Celtic, were at a boys' club and come back and done well for us. So I suppose it's hard to judge when they're young. People that had hype coming through that made it. I suppose McGeady was the last one. It's a huge amount of hype. He came through and made it. Mm. Dembele, no. Farooz, no. It's maybe harder for them just now with the pathway to the first team. But yeah, statistically, you know, if you're trying to be a professional footballer, it's... And to make it Celtic... You know, it's a one in a million chance. And that's maybe part of the thing that kind of frustrates us when we get guys that are obviously going to make it very close, choose to go to another team, you know, because at one point or another, we've all had that dreamer making it at Celtic. You're thinking, geez, that guy's just about to accomplish the dream. And he's chosen to go elsewhere.
You know, see the thing there on that point, if I go back to young Philip, what I can say about him is his background, his family unit, his attitude, all that kind of thing, having seen it firsthand, Lawrence, is spot on. And that's what fills me with confidence. But as you say, we would much rather sign for Celtic. I'm going to bring this up because, I mean, seriously, we're 2023, David, and we're going for a treble. And don't let facts get in the way of a negative comment, David C. Paul John, show the clip of you trying to tout Mark Hughes when Celtic were first linked with Ange. That didn't happen. That's an absolute embellishment. What I said was that I had spoken to Mark Hughes on the morning of me making a comment about him, and he was interested in the Celtic job. So don't be, you know, mainstream media, David. Talk with facts, pal. Talk with facts.
The huge thing was good about when we was before Ange was linked. You know, it was Eddie Howe.
Long time before Ange.
Was Lenny still in the job at that point? Because we're saying, well, who would take it?
Go and have a look at the interview that I did with him, David. But you see, the reason I'm bringing it up is there are certain people on social media who make a career out of just being negative and targeting certain individuals, Lawrence, with this type of tripe. So get your facts straight, pal, and you'll be welcome back on the Axon. My interview with Mark Hughes was a long time before Ange was quoted by anybody. But because, you know, if you want to be a wee bit clickbait and get a wee bit of response, and now that you've been mentioned and answered and spoken to, you might be getting a wee bit of an ego boost. But no, that didn't happen. So get your facts straight, pal, and you might be welcome back on Axon after that. Hak Sabanovic has been talking about the fact, Lawrence, that he's happy with the minutes that he gets. And the fact that, you know, if he needs to be a sub, if he needs to make that impact, he's quite happy with that. Now, that is the kind of attitude we need from everybody who's involved with this Ange Postecoglou squad.
Isn't that something that Ange spoke about, though? It's about attitude. He sits them down and chats them and tries to judge them as a person and their attitude. And you touched on it with Abada. Was that a deal that was maybe getting done before Ange came in? Who knows? But, yeah, Hak Sabanovic, it's where do we play him? You know, who drops out for him? Because he's definitely a talented player. Maybe we'll see the best of him next season once he's had a bit of run in the team, because he was start-stop with injury and a few other issues.
But I think he was player of the month in November, Lawrence, and then he gets an injury, you know.
I suppose that the front six, likely we're going to change five barring injuries at the back. So they've all got to be happy that at some point they're going to be on the bench or coming off early. There's been a bit of paradigm shift with the five subs. No doubt there'll be a common score before long to reduce it back down. It's benefiting Celtic too much. But,
I think I've already heard that call from a pundit in the mainstream media, that it is benefiting Celtic too much. Phenomenal. Mark,
any rules that help Celtic.
I know. Mark Taylor, thank you very much for getting involved. 52 thumbs. What you're referring to is the fact that give us a thumbs up, because we're talking about data and analysis and all that kind of stuff. The analytics on YouTube means that if you give us a thumbs up or if you make a comment on the stream after it's finished, then it looks as though it's getting interaction with the viewers, and it helps for the video to pop up in recommended lists, etc. So yeah, please give us a wee thumbs up if you are happy with what Axon is doing. Also, you can come and see us because we do have regular live events running. Once these all settle down, we'll have one a month in the Glasgow area where you can come and meet like-minded Axon contributors, viewers, and normally an Excel of some repute. Now, we have a gig coming up on Friday night, which is non-Celtic. That's at Barra's Art and Design with Alan McGee. But the following night, we're at Gracie's. And we are going to be there with Peter Grant, because Peter has stepped in for our good friend Lawrence, Danny McGrain, was going to be coming along. That can't happen. But Peter has replaced him, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think that Peter Grant has become a bit of a breath of fresh air on Celtic TV, Lawrence. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, he's a great commentary, great insight into the game. You know, he's been solid enough, and after he left Celtic in his management career, he's got a lot of experience there, hasn't he?
He does. I was always disappointed, you know, when he was the assistant to Moga. I just felt that sometimes I just wanted him to be Peter Grant, the Peter Grant we knew on the park. It seemed to me that he was maybe stepping back a wee bit from Mowbray being the focal point.
We've maybe got this almost a circular conversation now, because see the decisions in that season.
Oh, no.
You know, it was like, remember Maloney nearly got set on it off at Ibrox, he was getting fouled that much in the box.
Remember Robbie Keane against Rangers?
Oh, how many fouls on him alone?
That was unbelievable. By the way, it was great to see Robbie Keane sporting the new Celtic jersey on social media. Social media can be good for for several things, and I do like to see people like that given a bit of love for Celtic.
Remember when he signed, he said he was glad that he'd signed when he was still at the top of his game. He didn't wait to the end of his career to do it. You know, he's Tala, he's from, isn't it, just in Dublin, one of the big estates there. Mm-hmm. What a player he was for us, absolutely phenomenal. What a career that boy had, eh?
Unbelievable. Will
Coventry into Milan. Oh.
You know who gave him his debut for Wolves?
No, who was it?
Mark McGee.
Was it?
Yeah, Mark McGee gave him his debut.
What a striker's mark he was, though. Barcelona. Oh,
he was unbelievable for. I know he was unbelievable for virtually every club he played for. And when he came to Celtic, the goals he scored, he was one of the players you looked at and thought, imagine him for a full season in the hoops. It would have been absolutely glorious.
Imagine him in a Van season with the amount of kicks he was taking. Oh
I know.
The offsides, ridiculous.
Bellamy. If you have actually bought a ticket for Danny, I've contacted you individually via email and or WhatsApp stroke text to tell you of the change and to say that if you wanted a refund, because, you know, the chances are you were coming to see Danny. I know that we announced that gig before we announced Danny. The vast majority of you are still coming along to see Peter, but if you want a refund for any other reason, because there has been a slight change, then that will be organised. Just respond to the WhatsApp, the text, or the email as well. And David, just because obviously you've come back in to speak about that after making what you're now calling a tongue-in-cheek comment, what you need to realise, David, is that there is a hell of a lot of online abuse getting dished out on a daily basis on social media, and you've got to really be careful as to how you word things on social media and on YouTube, because Lawrence, we've obviously had some pretty serious issues in the past with that that have seriously affected contributors to Axon, and that is why we don't really tolerate it. It's not about not having a sense of humour. There's ongoing issues with a few individuals that really should know better, because for me, that kind of online harassment, as it is undoubtedly classed as, and not, I'm not talking about you, David, I'm talking about others, it's not for me befitting of a Celtic state of mind, Lawrence, so it needs to be called out. And you know what? It's been normalised and it needs to be called out so that it's no normal. You can't really harass people online. There's a couple of infamous characters online, Lawrence, that we're all aware of. If you want to come and see us in the flesh, then we do have two of the boys from Seville in Glasgow next month. One of them is Alan Thompson. The other one is John Hartson. Two separate events. Come along, buy a ticket, say hello, and get involved in Axon Live. Everybody that's been involved, thank you very much for getting involved with Axon. And once again, thank you, Lawrence Connolly, and your Doug, for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Network.